Chapter 9. Thundering down a dusty country road, a sandstorm trailing up behind the bus, fields of corn shining endless on either side, no road signs for miles, and Jesus's Greatest New York Bands Ever compilation CD loud from the sound system. The Voidoids doing Love Comes in Spurts. Morgan and Becky are arguing over the map. Jesus is sitting up front, keeping Chris company, when they see a guy up ahead by the side of the road, a few hundred yards away, one hand held up, shielding his face from the sun, the other arm extended wearily, the thumb held out here in the middle of nowhere. The first hitchhiker they've come across since they left NYC. "No way," Morgan says, anticipating. "Pull over, Chris," Jesus shouts. "Aw, come on," Morgan protests. "Some guy way out here on his own? He's probably just killed a bunch of people." "Don't be stupid. Pull over." Chris starts braking, and there's a piercing squeak of hydraulics as the bus quivers to a halt, the clouds of sandy gravel that have been trailing it now overtaking it, blowing over the hitcher as he steps towards the bus. Jesus hops down the three steps and smacks the button so the concertina doors jutter open. "Afternoon," Jesus says pleasantly, the others crowding round behind him. "Sir," the kid says, nervous, clearing his throat. And he is a kid, maybe 20, wearing an old plaid shirt and tattered work pants. Fine, sandy brown hair falls in his eyes, and he's freckled, with a teenage rash of acne still scarring his forehead. A faded blue canvas knapsack hangs over his shoulder. "How much would the fare be from here to Nashville?"
"I hate to break it to you, kid," Jesus says, "but this isn't like, regularly scheduled programming or anything."
He waves a hand at the others, at fat Chris, stripped to the waist and smiling in his mirrored aviators. Morgan, his shades pushed up onto his forehead to better squint at the newcomer, a fat J dangling from his lips, sweet clouds of it drifting out of the bus. Becky in her underwear, rock and roll blaring, the New York Dolls singing Trash now.
"Sir?" the kid says, not understanding.
"Son, where the fuck are we?" Morgan asks.
The boy eyes Morgan briefly, averting his gaze from Becky's bare legs.
"You're in Hogg County, sir, North Kentucky."
"I knew it," Morgan says. "We've been going south since Indianapolis, you fat fuck."
"Fuck you. Give me that fucking thing."
Chris wrenches the crumpled map from Morgan and begins frowning at it.
Guys,
Jesus says. They shut up and he turns back to the kid.
"You're headed for Nashville? Are you a guitar player?"
The kid looks at Jesus oddly.
No, sir. I'm trying to get to New Mexico. To Santa Fe? I hear I can get the bus there from Nashville."
"Shit. New Mexico," Jesus says, turning to the others. "Kid's going our way." Morgan sighs.
"Listen, buddy," Chris says, leaning forward from the cab behind Jesus and Morgan. "Do you know the way from wherever the hell we are now to the Missouri border?"
The kid nods.
"Then welcome aboard,"
Chris says, crunching her into gear as Jesus reaches out a hand to help the kid up.
"What's your name, son?" he asks.
"Claude."
"Good to meet you, Claude. I'm Jesus."
"Like from the Bible?"
"Just like that."
"So, Claude,"
Jesus says as they settle down around one of the metal tables up front, Claude nervously clutching his knapsack as he takes in all the faces. Miles and Danny smiling up at him. Big Bob scowling down. Gus and Dottie grinning, benign. That gallon of Mad Dog 2020 they scored back the way, slipping down nicely. Morgan already rolling another joint. Becky opening a Coke.
"You from round here?"
"Yes, sir."
"JC. JC is fine.
We got a farm a couple miles back."
"You a farmer?"
Becky asks. Claude nods, maybe embarrassed,
hiding behind that fringe. You get the sense the kid hasn't met too many people, that sitting here, he feels like an unusual object on display.
Wow, I never met a real-life farmer before,
Becky says, crossing her long, bare legs, getting him blushing, causing him to smile for the first time, revealing bad teeth and a cute little dimple.
So what's in New Mexico, baby?
Morgan asks, lighting the joint, blowing on the end of it, making it flame, sending curly cues of black ash breaking off and trembling towards the ceiling.
Cousin of mine's gonna get me a job in them oil fields.
The farm's not doing too good, huh?
JC asks. Claude shakes his head and looks at the table.
No, sir. My mama says we might as well sell up the land, but there ain't no one wants to buy land out here these days.
Jesus nods, thinking about all those for sale signs, all those people in foreclosure, all those folks who kept hearing, buy, buy, buy. You can't lose. Get in the race. Gotta be in it to win it. Where's your peace? Everybody wanting in until they wind up paying hundreds of thousands of dollars they don't have for a bit of timber and drywall in the middle of nowhere. And then, when the whole shithouse comes tumbling down, these same guys on TV saying, well, that's what the market did. We didn't expect that. Sorry. Jesus, remembering that elevator ride down to hell. Morgan offers Claude the joint. The kid looks at it for a moment before shaking his head.
What does your mom think about you going to work in those oil fields? Jesus asks him. Long as I can send some money home. How about your dad?
Becky says. Claude just keeps looking at the table.
Ain't seen him in years.
It's quiet for a moment before Miles says, real serious,
do you have a tractor?
Everyone laughs as the Velvet Underground comes blowing out the speakers above their heads.
You like rock and roll music, Claude?
Jesus asks, not waiting for an answer, already reaching up and turning the volume up. Lou Reed asking, who loves the sun? As they drive right into it, at 65 miles an hour, the Kentucky fields silently eating their dust. Jesus picking up an acoustic and playing, him and Morgan singing along with the track.
Excuse me, ma'am, Claude says, getting up. Becky, I just need to use the bathroom.
Remember, Becky calls after him, no number twos on the bus. Claude hurries off, embarrassed, clutching the knapsack, and Becky giggles.
Sweet kid,
she says to herself as her youngest son appears.
Who is?
Miles says.
You are, baby,
she says, picking him up and tickling him. Claude locks the door of the tiny bathroom at the back of the bus and sits down on the ox collar of the toilet seat. He opens his knapsack and roots through it, squinting in the murky, feeble, fluorescent light. His spare shirt, two pairs of socks, a t-shirt, the rusted tobacco tin containing his net worth of $86 and change, a photograph of his mother. He pauses at this, frowning at the faded color shot of her sitting on their porch, half smiling, a chipped enamel coffee mug in one hand and a cigarette in the other. He puts it aside and roots on down to the bottom of the knapsack. Claude lifts out the gun. It's an old Army-issue Colt 45 automatic, just like the one Bob used in that spider hole back in the day. It's flecked with orange rust, big and heavy, his small hand just fitting around the checkered wood grip. The gun is older than Claude, older than his daddy even. Family legend has it that Claude's grandpa, his mom's dad, brought it back from Korea, where he killed a bunch of gooks with it. He clumsily pops the catch, releases the magazine, and runs a finger over the fat brass slug that nestles at the top. His six buddies crouched beneath him. The gun is old, but the bullets are brand new.
It all works. Claude has made sure of that, practicing in the woods.
He slips the magazine back into the butt of the pistol, snicks the safety on, and carefully begins to repack his things.